I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You should get him on.
Who?
Wilkes. Seriously. What are you seeing? Take your victory lap. No, I'm serious.
Only five games in.
Yeah.
This is very reasonable take from the 650. Gents, the Niner coaching staff's been gutted since Saleh left.
Gutted.
I mean, how many defensive coordinators have they had under Kyle?
Well, D'Amico.
Yeah.
Saleh.
Mm-hmm. Wilkes. Sorensen.
Yeah, well.
Was Saleh the first one? Or did they have somebody before Saleh? I can't even remember.
Well, the bottom line is you got Bosa. You got Fred Warner. Now, I know Ward is, you know, him and Lenore somewhat holding it down, but Hufanga, who all of a sudden, Steiny, now when he's not hurt, is kind of like,
Well, he's hurt now.
Yeah, but when he's not, he's like, get caught peeking and not in the right place. Just overly aggressive, but players make the coordinator, right?
Players make the coordinator, right? Yeah, I would say that's got something to do with it. All right, let's go out to the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Joining us right now, Ben Solak, NFL analyst at ESPN. You can also see him every other Thursday on the Mina Kimes Show. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. Got to be on.
Yeah, let's start out with the 49ers offense and the fact that this team's 2-3 and it's kind of catching a lot of 49er fans by surprise. Are you noticing or have you noticed, let's say, any difference between their offense this year and what they've been doing traditionally under Kyle Shanahan?
Huge difference. It's very different, especially if you look at the time frame in which they had Christian McCaffrey, the middle of the 2022 season to now. We've talked a lot about what Kyle's good at, what his bread and butter is. Oh, under center, and they go play action, they get yards after the catch. And he's been evolving away from that for quite some time now. But even still, in the previous years, they were a pretty heavy yards after the catch team. At this point in the season, no quarterback has fewer yards after the catch than Brock Purdy does. Brock Purdy is also leading the league in what we call ADOT, average depth of target. When he throws the ball, he's throwing it further downfield than all other quarterbacks in the league. This has become a spread drop back and isolation passing offense. That's kind of that's how they're attacking teams right now. It is not dissimilar to the change that Sean McVay made when he had Matthew Stafford as quarterback. And he said, okay, we're going to go and gun a little bit more. We're just going to kind of get five in the concept and we're going to expect our quarterback and our wide receivers to be able to beat their guys. And so there's been a big stylistic change in the way that this offense attacks the passing game. And there's been some really cool moments from that, and there's been some drawbacks to that as well.
Why do you think that is? Is it because Kyle maybe is trusting Brock Purdy more than he ever has, or is it out of necessity because McCaffrey hasn't been there?
I think it's six of one, half dozen of the other, right? I think that this was always an evolution that you wanted to be able to take as an offense. Kyle is so good at getting training wheels on an offense, but every single coach in the league wants to be able to trust their quarterback with a grown-up offense, with fewer and fewer training wheels. Then you can put those little bells and whistles back on, you know, pre-snap motion and play action when you need it, when you have a matchup you like, when the defense is weak to it. But it's nice to be versatile, be multiple, and be able to grow up and be that big boy offense when you need to be. So I think some of it is trusting Brock, and deservedly so. Brock's been excellent over the course of his career and is getting better and better week over week. But I do think that a big, big, big part of it is the absence of McCaffrey. McCaffrey was just the amount of stress that guy put on the defense just by being in the huddle, right? And you didn't know if they were going to come out with Kyle Juszczyk on eye formation and McCaffrey dot in the eye, and they're going to put Kittle in the formation, and Juwan Jennings is going to block. We're going to be condensed, and we're going to run the ball, and we're going to be physical. And then the very next play with the same personnel, they could be in five wide, they could be in empty, and McCaffrey's motioning, and he's breaking off corners and linebackers on routes. Like that level of unpredictability is impossible to replicate with Jordan Mason back there, who Mason just does not catch the football, run routes the way that McCaffrey does. That hurts Debo, right? Because now Debo's getting less targets behind line of scrimmage. Debo's getting less of the easy stuff because they're not screwing around with him in the backfield and McCaffrey out wide. That hurts Kittle because Kittle's not getting the same free releases on these little delayed, it's a running play and then I'm going to leak out to the flat and run for 35 yards. It, you took a very critical piece out of that Jenga tower, and it's starting to shake a little bit. So I do think both explanations are valid. I lean a little bit heavier towards the McCaffrey side.
Wow, Ben, a lot of good stuff. I want to, if you don't mind, pick up right there, because I've once called Kyle Shanahan in regard to play calling and design a genius. No McCaffrey, I get it, but I think Brock he's got a blank check waiting for him. But when you have a $30 million receiver in Brandon Ayuk, Kittle, who I feels like he needs to be featured more because he can catch, you got Debo, as you mentioned, and you got the emergence of Juwan Jennings and a baby Marshawn Lynch. People get mad at me, Ben, when I say that. Is that suffice for 9-for-22 being 30th in the red zone, Ben? Is it just, oh, there's no McCaffrey, that's why they're 9-for-22?
Yeah, you brought up the red zone numbers. The red zone numbers are the most important ones, where I think they really, really feel the absence of McCaffrey. Because red zone defense is a lot of like, all right, you know, we don't have to pack the zones deep downfield 20 yards, 30 yards down the field anymore. So we can really get seven guys with eyes on the quarterback, eight guys with eyes on the quarterback. They can all relate to one another. We can condense some of this space. And the solution for that for Kyle for the last year and a half was, okay, I'm going to throw the ball to McCaffrey or Debo early in the down, and I'm just going to expect them to break tackles on you. And we're going to be able to brute force this thing in with the running game, with the quick passing game. And with Mason back there, they're a little bit worse in those tight areas. He's not the same runner that McCaffrey was. He's a good player, but he's not as good in the tight spaces, making the right reads, kind of surviving through contact like Christian was. And then their pass game in the red zone is really, really rough at this time. They're a lot better at this stage scoring from explosives, scoring from further out, than they are right now scoring when they get a little bit tighter in there. And so I think that the red zone deficiency is really where I'm looking at Kyle and being like, man, you have to come up with some more clever stuff, some more stuff that's going to catch teams by surprise, some more Debo out of the backfield, this, that, and the other thing. Because you got to be able to get seven and not three in these instances. And obviously, they're coming off a bad Niners game. And, you know, the Mason fumble down there really sucks. And ball security inside the 10. Like, you don't want to overreact too much to this thing. But I really think the fact that they're at times struggling to punch it in when they start to get into the red, even the high red, it matters a lot because it's seven instead of three. And then it really matters when you got some kicker questions. Sometimes that three isn't as certain as you'd like for that three to be. I mean, they're losing some edges there for sure.
Ben Solak joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's an NFL analyst on ESPN. You can see him every other Thursday on the Mina Kimes Show. I think I know your answer from the way you previously answered, but do you view, let's say, a red zone offense completely differently than you evaluate the offense outside the red zone? I think teams that struggle in the red zone are probably teams that largely struggle outside the red zone and vice versa. Mm-hmm. But it sounds to me like you do make a distinction there.
Yeah, so I mean, I want to think about it like a play sheet, right? Play sheet's got a lot of play calls for first and 10. Play sheet's got a lot of play calls for third down. Play sheet's got a lot of play calls for red zone. Those are separate on the actual sheet. So we are dealing with different constraints that the defense is putting on us, right? I talked about in the red zone. Red zone, I don't have to, if I'm a deep safety, I don't have to worry about the 30-yard bomb going over my head because that's out the end line, right? You're in out of field, right? The geometry of the field changes, which means the style of plays that you can run change, right? Like the bread and butter Kyle Shanahan pass concept over the last 2 years has been running somebody down the seam or on the big post, then running that deep dig in behind it. And guess what you can't do in the red zone, because you can't run that deep post, you can't run that seam, you can't clear out that safety. You can't run that bread and butter concept, right? So your red zone designs are inherently different. Now, they're going to be linked, right? Especially like in the running game, right? If I've shown the same different, you know, run looks and I'm from the same formation three or four times on a drive, all right, well, that matters when I get down to the red, because now I can show that formation and maybe run a play action off it. Maybe I can do something. I'll wrinkle up what I did last week. Like, there's still going to be connective tissue. There always is, right? It's the same 11 players out there on offense, same 11 players out there on defense. You can get some guys. But yeah, the geometry of the field changes. And so I think the Niners are really successfully moving the ball between the 20s. And I think that, again, like the explosive pass has been a big scoring aspect for them. Juwan Jennings, Allen up against the Rams, 35-yard bomb, you know, Brandon Ayuk, big catch and run. Like, they've had their explosive pass scores. But when things are getting tight right now, they're really missing McCaffrey, both in the running game and in the design passing game. They should have some solutions. I think that you saw, you know, Kittle winning above the rim against the was it the Cardinals that he had there, or was it 2 weeks ago? Like, you have a tight end you can target. Like, there are some solutions there. I expect him to find it, but it's been herky-jerky to start.
Yeah, and on the other side of the ball, Ben, I don't have to tell you, last year, Steve Wilks, he lasted 1 year. When it was all said and done, I thought the defense performed well enough to win in the Super Bowl, and they were a top-five defense. But this year under Nick Sorensen, Ben, I don't recognize this team. I know there's no Greenlaw, but can you share with us why the Arizona Cardinals and the Minnesota Vikings were you know, basically just running the ball down the Niners' throat? And there's Bosa, there's Warner out there, but share with us what you're seeing, and can this thing be fixed?
Yeah, so I was starting to be really worried about that Niners defense late down the stretch last year, even with Wilkes. And I thought they played a lot better in that Chiefs game than I anticipated. But I think you started to see some of those run defense issues pop up down the stretch. I remember talking about them coming into that Lions NFC Championship game. I thought Lions were going to win that game, and it was because over the last 5-10 weeks of the season, Niners have been like a bottom five run defense. And the reality is, man, it's hard to keep good personnel on the field and whenever it gets expensive. Like, that's the nature of things, right? When it's Robert Saleh and it's D'Amico Ryans out there, and Azeez El-Shaair is your cheap third linebacker, and Jimmy Ward is still in his prime, right? And you got, like, you know, Kinlaw's coming off the bench here, and you have a deep cadre of edge rushers, right? You just, like, you have so many guys on the margin who just help make things work for you as a defense. And okay, so our defense is good. We can bring that to the bank. Every single year, Niners defense is great. And then all of a sudden, over the course of a few years, you know, you've just got to put a couple of different safeties out there. Hufanga gets hurt. You know, a couple different corners out there. Okay, the linebacker depth isn't what it used to be. And all of a sudden, yeah, we still got Warner. And Warner's great. I mean, Warner's playing unbelievable ball this season. Nick's healthy right now. Nick looks excellent. We got Nick out there. You still have your stars. You have your tent poles. But a lot of the supporting cast just, it ain't what it used to be, right? And that's the cost of doing business. You got to go pay Trent. You got to go pay Ayuk. You got to go pay Debo. You got to go pay everybody on that offense. And you just start to lose in the margins a little bit on defense. I think that the switch to Nick Sorensen was a lot of, you know, kind of going back to a defensive system that we're familiar with. We kind of know the strengths. We know the weaknesses of it. We feel like we can work around it. But the reality is that personnel-wise, like, they are just – they are so challenged, especially at safety and linebacker, some of the injuries they've had and some of the departures that they've had, that it's a lot tougher to survive in that system the way that they used to. And so, I don't know, especially now that Hargrave's out for the season, if I'm the opposing team and I'm looking at the Niners on a Sunday, I'm spending my whole Tuesday, my whole Wednesday just figuring out ways to run the football on them. So I really, really think that I can beat them that way for four quarters.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. We're talking to Ben Solak, NFL analyst at ESPN. Some really good stuff. Now, you said you would think about a way to run on the 49ers. I'm looking at the Seattle Seahawks, who they play tomorrow. Why the heck did Kenneth Walker only run 5 times Sunday?
Yeah, right now, Ryan Grubb, who's the OC there, came out of college system, right? He and Mike McDonald, they're pretty back happy. The Seahawks lead the league right now in drop back rate over expectation, which means when we adjust for the scoreboard, right, the score deficit, when you adjust for down and distance, the Seahawks are calling more passes than any other team is in, like, kind of neutral script and neutral rate. I think that some of that is Grubb's background, right? Some of the college approach, really thinking you can throw it on guys. I think some of that's because Geno's playing great. Like, Geno's just lights out so far to start the season. You're letting him control the game at the line of scrimmage, getting into calls that he likes, and you're trusting him to avoid the negative plays and go from there. With that said, they should be running the football more. They should have ran the football more against the Giants. I know that, you know, Dexter Lawrence is a very scary young man to run the football against, but still, you got to be able to establish it a little bit. And I think that you're going to see them try to run the football against the Niners as well. They're not great at getting additional bodies into block, right? They're kind of a very traditional 11 personnel team. They have DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigba. All those guys are receivers. There's no Juwan Jennings on this team that wants to get in there and block, right? This is three true wideouts. And so they're a little limited in what they can do. I think that they want to have more. They want to have the tight end sets, but they had injuries, and now they're deeper.
Hey, Ben, yeah. Your connection tough, just got real funky. I wonder if we can get a better connection.
Hey,
nah, you're breaking up. Hopefully we'll reach out right away, because we want to keep you on for another minute or two, because
probably going through a tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like him.
I like him too. But what stood out to me, Steiny, is he saw something in this defense in week 10 of last year and thought the Lions could do what they did when I didn't. But, you know, you go to that halftime of that playoff game that they were able to come back. I was just going to throw it to him, Steiny, asking about Aaron Rodgers. But also, where is he at? Can they fix this as a collective? Because there's things going on both sides. The special teams is inadequate.
Yeah.
Defense is inadequate in the offense.
All right, let's head. We got Ben back. Ben back. Okay, we got Ben returning.
Yeah.
Ben Solak, Ben back. NFL analyst at NFL.
Everything.
All right, ESPN. Go ahead, Agu, ask.
No, Ben, I was just telling my partner here, you know, it's kind of fascinating the signs you saw about the Niners' run defense last year and then that game at halftime, that prediction where you felt like Detroit would have won. If I would have called you at half, you'd have been like, man, I'm a prophet. With all that said and what, you know, what they're missing or what they're lacking, has that changed your views of this team and how far they can go as a whole? I know it's early, but I'm worried.
Yeah, I was you know, low on the Niners this preseason. I was kind of expecting this division to be a close one down the stretch. I'm still there. This is even before they lost McCaffrey, and I think since losing McCaffrey, you can see some of the holes in this offense. Here's the nature of things. It's the NFL. It's not for long. That's what the letters stand for. It is so hard to be good year over year. And Niners fans know this because Kyle's been excellent and the offense has been great, but they have these 8-8 years. They have their injury years where they go 4-12, right? Like, it's really consistent. It's really hard to go to the Super Bowl, lose, and then just be back at the top of the NFC the very next year. Like, the elite quarterbacks can do it, but if you don't have an elite guy, then it's just really challenging. You know, some cracks start to show in the facade a little bit. So for me, I think the Niners are a playoff team. I don't think they're an NFC powerhouse, and I think that the NFC is largely a mess right now. I don't know if anybody's an NFC powerhouse, so maybe they get hot, lay down the season, and make another run, but this isn't the same team that they were, I think, last year or a couple years ago. I think that you're starting to see just the attrition of trying to hold together one roster and pay everybody. You're starting to see that accumulate on them.
Wow, Ben, a lot of good stuff. Hey, if you don't mind, I got to be careful here. I want to ask you about the situation that went down in New York with Robert Saleh. And I'm not here to tell you Saleh is Bill Belichick, but Ben, I just feel like he got a raw deal. You're playing for first place this week. The defensive side of the ball is doing their thing. They're a top four defense. And for Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if you saw today, Ben, to come out on the Pat McAfee show and say he had nothing to do with the firing. Mm-hmm. Can you just run us through your thoughts on, you know, Saleh, and did he get a raw deal in Rodgers' part in this when he's not holding up his end of the bargain?
Yeah, Saleh absolutely got a raw deal. He's a defensive head coach. The defense was doing great. Offense has been a problem for him. Now, listen, NFL is a results-driven league. You got to win ball games as a head coach. You don't win ball games, you're going to lose a job. That's the long and the short of it, right? And he was 20-36. Now, I think a lot of that wasn't his fault. I think a lot of that visibility has to go in general manager Joe Douglas. Like, there's absolutely a very good and easy case to be made that, you know, Robert Saleh was not top three on the list of problems in New York during his tenure there. But you got to be able to win ball games, right? And ownership's going to come down on you if you get embarrassed in London, where Woody Johnson was previously the UK ambassador. Like, the chickens come home to roost a little bit. So I'm not surprised that Saleh got fired. I do think that he largely did what he promised he would do in New York. They were never able to figure out the quarterback position for a multitude of reasons and bad luck. And eventually, you know, the bill comes due. As to Rodgers parting it, Rodgers says, you know, I did not explicitly ask Robert Saleh to be fired. Ugh. I believe him. I don't think that he did. Sure, great. I do think that if he really wanted Robert Saleh to stay as his head coach, he had many opportunities to make that known. He had many opportunities to be vocal about that. And I don't think this firing would have happened. So even if it's a, you know, complicit in his silence sort of a thing, I absolutely think that Saleh is not getting fired unless Rodgers is to some degree okay with or willing to accept that. And so he's not blameless in this. He has too much power in that room, and we know he has too much power in that room for him to be, you know, 100% blameless the way that he kind of wants to be portrayed. That's that.
Hey, Ben, thank you so much
for joining us.
This is the first time you've ever come on with us, and we've really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Mandel. Y'all take care.
Yes, sir. That's Ben Solak, NFL analyst at ESPN. You can see him on the Mina Kimes show every other Thursday. And I got a new favorite.
Yeah, and I could take a victory lap. He got a raw. Saleh got a raw deal. Evan and
I. That's not what I heard. I heard him say, this is selected. The NFL. You got to win ball games.
Somebody said that last night on TV, the NFL Network, and I said, there's more than one Steinie. He was tuning in. I was like, dude, it's bigger than that. They afforded him the luxury to coach this team this year, and the guy that was supposed to turn it all around offensively has been a shell of himself. And Steinie, I heard, I'm going Twitter, look at my guy.
What? How you doing?
Oh, boy.
You Here we know, go. What's Woody? Woody.
Woody.
Woody Harrelson. No. I want to fight
Woody Johnson.
Buffett. Woody Johnson was going to get rid of Hackett, the offensive coordinator, and Rodgers got wind of that, and that's when he called Woody and and laid the hammer down like the Thor and LeBron.
Kirk Reeder?
Look at you. That's a two. And I believe that might have jumped off. But anyway, yeah. I am so out on Jet football, I traded Breece Hall to Grandy. Yeah.
That was dumb.
No, I got you. He's not doing anything the last 3 weeks.
Well, that's why he's going to start doing something.
I'm good at running back. I got T. Higgins and
he's
Waddle.
A wide receiver?
Yeah, I got Waddle. Yep. Yeah, get rid of the Jets.
What are you, 2-3?
Yeah.
You're going to take off.
Why are you snitching?
You better hope that. Oh, that's right. You got a bet to win. You said the Jets would win 10 games.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I thought you had them in the Super Bowl, dude.
Oh, boy. I didn't go that far.
AFC Championship, though.
No, but I was listening to the roast this morning, Bonte and Shasky.
Oh, what do they have
to say?
And
we'll get into it, too. Dan Orlowski later on. But
we're going to get
we're in the medium of you give takes. You're not in here trying to be Mr. Perfect and run from when they're wrong.
Nah,
it's about emotion. It's about education. It's about feeling. And then that computes to a thought. And sometimes you're wrong. But for the people to hide and not admit when they're wrong, it's whack. Nobody's batting 1,000.
Well,
Evan,
I'm knocking on the door.
Dude, please. No, you got to have a take to knock on the door.
Hey. Tatis?
Right. Dude, the Padres. Dude, it's just.
The one word that I didn't hear in that diatribe was facts.
The players are the facts. They control you being right or wrong. Like I saw something in Wiggins' eye. Nobody can take that from me.
Well, yeah, they can. Because you must have been hallucinating. By the way, Wiggins is a little under the weather.
Not again!
He's got that little flu bug. A flu bug.
You being serious.
707, yeah. Waddle is trash. He plays for the Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, he's going to catch a lot of balls.
On from that who? Team.
Exactly. Hunter S. Thompson?
Yeah, that's bad.
I trade for
Trey Lance.
Who's their quarterback, Hunter Thompson?
Yeah, I have to ask you what the attraction of Waddle was.
No, he was just a throw-in. I just wanted Higgins.
No such thing.
Yeah, no, seriously. I'm good everywhere. My losses are by like minute. I'm good.
Like the Niners. Evan.
Waddle was not. He was a throw-in. It was
Higgins. How come your fantasy team is close and you're okay with them, and the Niners are close, but you're ripping them?
Wow. Give me a second. Evan coming for me. He didn't like the trade. I just wanted Hall out of there. He cost me 2 weeks in a row. I'm done. I don't think they're going to get that offense fixed. Yeah. So, Breece Hall, you're out of here.
Okay.
Buster Posey.
What does he have to do with Breece
Hall? That's who I am. I made a trade.
Is Breece Hall a statistical nerd?
Yeah. Dude, that was the greatest.
That was the worst.
And Bobby, I told you, Bobby Evans may be in play to come join the Giants regime. Sabian, too. Bring them all back. Bring them both back. Why wouldn't you do that?
Because they're over the hill. That's why.
No, I saw Bobby Evans and Sabian at the Bears Sports Hall of Fame. They look great.
Let me guess. Farhan wasn't working the room.
Friend of the show, Bobby Evans. Stunny.
I like Bobby Evans.
He still has it.
That'll be up to Buster Posey.
Trying to see who's had better hair, you or him. It's a tie. Bobby Evans still doing
Bobby
it.
Bobby Evans out of a police lineup.
Yeah.
All right. 888-957-9570. Are you confident the 49ers can get this ship righted? Yes or no? And then on the other side, Guru's hot on something. He's hot on something that he saw yesterday on TV, and I must tell you, I got to come up with a take on it.
Wow, look at you.
I'm not really sure. Download the free Odyssey app and check us out on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
Oh, my baby, my darling. Am I going to embarrass you now with all your fans out there?
Yeah, Saul absolutely got a raw deal.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Chicago Jason, one of my favorites, our favorites.
What about him?
I think he needs a Q-tip. Steiny, you have flustered Guru multiple times today. I think I'm batting 1,000 today. Take it easy on him, LOL. And you didn't even have a take on one of the things I had because I had you flustered. So, Chicago Jason, make it make sense, bud.
He gets it.
Yeah. That's a nice shirt you got, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You should have wore that on KTVU, not that little black shirt that looked like you were auditioning for Grease Part 2. I didn't want to tell you. You shouldn't have went on with it, but you did a good job. Norm saw you.
I think there is a second Grease.
There is. Yeah, Spadoni.
Look at Spadoni.
The Google, dude, that dude. Both of them. Grease 3. Damn it.
Hey, Spadoni.
Shut up. Grease Part 3. Yeah.
So, something caught your ear on First Take yesterday.
All right.
ESPN's wonderful show. And this is a little back and forth between Shannon Sharpe and Dan Orlovsky.
Okay.
Who played in the NFL, backup quarterback. Of course, Shannon Sharpe, Hall of Famer, right? Absolutely. And they got into it about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to play this sound, and then you tell me what caught your ear.
He's playing awful. You know it. Everybody in New York knows it, and everybody around the NFL knows it. He's playing terrible. Call it like you see it.
Hold on. Shannon, one, he said it himself. I don't need to go on national television and tell people that Aaron Rodgers played poorly. No. There is a way that you have to play Minnesota. First of all, I never blamed the quarterbacks in New York. I always blamed the situation. I'm the guy who tries to put context on performances. I'm not telling anybody that Aaron has played well the past 2 weeks. By no means. He even said it himself. Not up to his standard. But Shannon, you know this. There is a way that you have to play as an offense to help your guys play well against certain defenses.
Not turn the ball over.
No question. So the pick six.
Not turn the ball over.
The pick six, 100%. That is a predictable pick six. He ran the triple slants. Van Ginkel knew it. The second interception, he forces the ball down the field to Lazard. I'm not telling anybody Aaron's playing well. But it's also not my job to go on national television and talk about a Hall of Fame quarterback when I was a backup quarterback and say that he stinks.
Whoa!
Yes, he's part of the situation. You're a Hall of Famer. You could do that. You're a Hall of Famer. You could do that. You could do that.
I need you to give D.O. Let him see his job description. That is his job, is to critique Hall of Fame, non-Hall of Famers. It does not matter.
But my job is to put context on why. My job is to put context on why.
Wow, I just got to tell you, Steiny, I love Dan Orlovsky, but what hurt me about that take is, dude, this is not about the world of sports would be cut in half more if it was about the worthiness of butchers, mailmen, doctors, people that have never played the game, Fat Mouse who won a radio contest, sharing their thoughts. That's the beauty of sports. Dan Orlovsky, think more of yourself. My God, you made the pros. You're part of the 1%. So I always, never once in my life did I think a former player would not give an honest assessment on a guy that was better than him in the sport. So from my vantage point, that hurt me because I love Orlovsky's takes. I don't always agree with them, but Steiny, oh my gosh, to say you can't critique Aaron Rodgers on national TV because he quote unquote was better than you, and maybe I heard it wrong because Evan had a different take and I was like, that's why we're all different. But my goodness, Dan, you gotta quit being insecure. The beauty of sports is people have an opinion, and the people, the majority of them, don't play the damn game. They weren't blessed to play it, but it doesn't mean that they're not worthy of coming up with an opinion to critique one's play. Tim Kawakami, he never made the pros. Guys like that, Matt Barrows, they never played. I'm just thinking of everybody, Stephen A., Skip, we would all be mute, and I'm saying we, nobody, if it was predicated on about how good you were. So, Dan, I'm hurt that you admitted that, and they're coming for him, Steiny, that you would bow down to the greatness of Aaron Rodgers when you're in the business of giving a damn formulated opinion, and you probably think, oh, I wasn't that good. You played the pros. You know what it takes. Okay, you weren't that good, but regular people bow down to you because they know what it takes to make it. And for you to tell me you can't critique Aaron Rodgers hurt me. You can.
I love his humility.
I think it was too much. And it sounded like he was running from something. The ghost of not being that great. No, critique him. That's your job. And you do it well. But that let me know you were scared.
He's not the first guy who probably has a relationship with somebody he has to talk about and sugarcoats it.
So you think that
look
was...
At how I talk, look at how I've talked about Steph Curry the last 15
but you've been
years.
Honest
I've given
in
the
every
benefit
term.
Of the doubt. I've kissed his behind.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's because I want to be, you know, I was hoping at some point he'd wish me a happy birthday.
I owe
did.
Curry nothing. Like Dan, what you like that was tell me your thoughts. You know where I'm at. I like and I'm a Dan fan.
My thoughts are
there would be no industry if it was predicated on if you played or how good you were to critique somebody. That's the beauty of what we do. Now some can say, Guru, please, you can't tell me. I'm just sharing with you my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd like to think that he can criticize guys. But I understand the entire premise of, you know, who's got the credibility to criticize. I think that's what it's about.
I'll just throw a name at you. Matt okay. Steinmetz,
what
Evan
about
Giddings, Joe Spadone, Tim Kawakami. Yeah. He's good at his job. He critiques sports, ball players. Like, there's not a mandate, Matt, that you had to play or be a pro to critique a professional ball player
or
an actor or actress. Like, you know what I mean? That's the beauty of what we do. And Dan succumbed to that to me on national TV. And that disappointed me.
Well, I mean, I feel like when it comes to, and we kind of got into this a little bit yesterday. Let's talk about the Niners and the Warriors and the Giants. Like, yeah, I feel like I can comment on them. I watch all their games and I follow those teams. But if there's something I'm not as familiar with, then I probably won't be as critical because I don't feel like I'm versed in that as well as the other things. But I guess, I don't know. I mean, Yeah, I think you should criticize if that's your job.
And it was obvious. So this is different than what you're talking about, Steiny. He was running from the ghost, I believe, of Aaron Rodgers being a better quarterback than he was. But that's not what this is about. Just share with us that Rodgers is stinking it up right now. And he admitted that, but he said because he was better than I was, he didn't feel right doing it.
Well, that's interesting because what I heard was him say, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I got to put context on everything. I was a backup quarterback. I can't come out here and say he stinks. You know what I mean?
So you can't say he's stinking because that's about, the current play. And he admitted to that, but he said why he could, like Shannon pulled his card to, like, oh my gosh. Status shouldn't come into play for me, Steiny, on you giving a critique if you're not bringing it. That wasn't about Aaron Rodgers' whole resume.
6. Here's a couple from the Comcast business text line.
Oh, great one here.
Go ahead.
The 650. It's just like the Mina Kimes, Jeff Garcia thing. Jeff was basically saying because she didn't play, she had no, her opinion was invalid. But yeah. Dan played, but it was about how good he was that kept him from really saying what. And he shared it with us. But I was just like, oh, Dan, man, I would have held on to that.
From the 650, Goo, you don't get paid to critique. You get paid to talk sports and entertain listeners and share your opinions on sports.
That opinion is a take.
Yeah. No. Wasn't he taking the position that he prefers to analyze and criticize conditions and context more than players?
Well, we'll get Evan in here, too, because he said something provocative. But, Steiny, that wasn't about that. It was about Dan Orlovsky said what Shannon Sharpe was saying, that right now your boy Rodgers was not playing great. And Dan has critiqued and called out Dak and other quarterbacks. So Shannon was just asking for the consistency. Why would you not call out A-Rod? And we got the answer, which hurt me because I was a backup and Steiny was better than me.
But I feel like
you're insulting yourself.
See, I think he was kind of saying that he's not going to say Aaron Rodgers stinks. He would say something like, yeah, clearly Rodgers is struggling. Or Rodgers isn't playing well.
And that would have sufficed.
I wonder how much of it is, you know, him feeling like he can't say somebody stinks. And
well, I'll give you this, not to cut you off, Steiny, but I did. It can't be that because he said it's about how he was a Hall of Famer and I'm not. So that's what that kept him from doing his job. And that's what hurts me. Dan, and you're good at it.
I can't really argue with that.
Evan, can you just share with us? Okay, my bad.
He said he's got.
All right, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, we'll bring in the next segment. Right.
But everybody's different, and we got somebody from the 415. That's what's wrong with sports now. Too many people giving their opinion that didn't play the game.
Okay, what about this? Orlovsky was a quarterback. Rodgers is a quarterback. So it would really be you criticizing somebody else in the industry. You know what I mean? Like, it would be like you criticizing
Stephen A.
Yeah, somebody who's maybe at the top of their profession.
And we've done it. Nobody's off limits.
Do we?
When I say, hey, I'm down on Stephen, you'll be like, what, Gooey said this.
No, not that.
But it never erases the good. We have fun with Skip Bayless when he was doing this thing. Like, I don't know what you mean by they're saying it right now. Somebody is, how come Guru never critiques people in the industry or his workplace? I do to you every day. And we do
here?
It to, yeah, like, if I disagree with the take you have, we hash it out, we talk about it. But I'm never afraid to critique anything or anybody.
Well,
and I don't think you need a license to do that, regardless if you want a contest like myself or you're a writer and been in the business as long as you have. My gosh, Steiny, there would be nobody. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Brady could still do
so
it.
So I can't tell you Michael Jackson's album was great if I'm not a producer or, you know what I mean? Stop it. I can't tell you Halle Berry's a great actress if I'm not an executive in Hollywood. Stop it. That's what makes what we do awesome. And for a guy that's in the 1% like Dan Orlovsky, the ghost of Aaron Rodgers was so much on his brain. He felt like he couldn't say Aaron wasn't playing that great right now.
Maybe Orlovsky feels like criticizing Aaron Rodgers would be like you criticizing Mark Willard. You know what I mean?
But Orlovsky's not a part of the Jets.
I know.
Me and Willard are on the same team same time.
Well, then maybe somebody like, you know what I mean.
Maybe I worked with Towny before.
Okay.
We work with Towny.
Yeah.
So if I criticize Towny, I wouldn't want to.
That's
my guy.
I wouldn't criticize Towny.
Well, you wouldn't criticize Willard, but normally you say, "Goo, I don't agree with you."
Yeah.
You're kind of. You can understand.
Willard.
Like he caught hell, Steiny. You can be like, "What hell? The social media hell," because he told the world he was afraid to do his job in this one instance, and he gave us the why. He was intimidated by the resume of one of the guys that played his position. And I'm like, man, yeah, you weren't Bart Starr, Dan, but you made the pros. I want to hear from you.
I don't really.
Because you get me in regard to the medium on radio, sports writing, that 96% of the people that critique never played the game to the pro level.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you. Let's go to Mike.
Yeah.
Mike's in Santa Clara. Hey, Mike, what's going on, man?
Not much, guys. Good conversation about the Aaron Rodgers factor. Quick shout out, really, very quick. I just got a shout out to my wife. I told her I would. She doesn't know I'm doing it, but she listens to your show. But
nice.
Yeah, no, but happy 3-year wedding anniversary.
What's her name?
Happy wedding anniversary, Sheena.
Oh, Sheena, nice. Congrats. There you go.
Yeah. We're going to House of she doesn't know it either, but we're going to House of Prime Ribs tonight. So.
Nice.
Anyway, guys, just wanted to make mention, it's the old saying, defense wins championships, and I'm talking about like the Niners defense in this case, of course. I'm not saying that we're going to, switch in Saleh or anything, but I'd like to see him come in possibly some sort of capacity, maybe as a consultant or something like that. We need some sort of intensity to get these guys up, man, especially with all the injuries that are happening. It seems like we're just on a down low. We just need something to pick us up. And, why not bring back someone who had success with the defense at this point? He can come in. He can help out Sorensen on a consulting kind of perspective. I'm not saying he wouldn't potentially take over the job, but, I want him to come back and help us out because we really, not just on the offense, but the defense really needs some help, guys. Yeah. I just don't even know what to even think about it at this point. With the injuries, Bosa is doing better. Fred Warner is just playing lights out as he always does. But we just need something to happen and make a change in that defensive scheme of some sort. Because I just don't think Sorensen's cutting it right now. We need something.
Now, hey, congratulations on your anniversary, but what if I left you with this? And I'm talking to the listeners at you and Steiny. The Niners have lost two games where they were up double digits. So it's not like they're not getting the lead or showing any dominance. At what point is it, guys? The coaches got to close out a game. They have to close out a game. Who's that on?
Yeah.
I would think that's more on coaching than the player.
Look, and this is my fundamental wrestling match with football.
Vince McMahon.
If Ronnie Bell catches the ball, they're 3-2. Mm. Purdy put it right on the numbers.
And if your boy don't fumble.
I mean, that's why if you ask me, I think they're going to get it together and make the playoffs. I'm asking 49er fans whether they think that this thing's going to be turned around or they see some issues here that might linger all year and get you knocked out of the playoffs.
Well, it was about, to that point, Stoney, for me, it was about championships. They got too much damn talent not to make the playoffs. Now, that's a reality. It's early as
what
five games. But that
like,
just,
what if this is who they are and they're five games?
Then my worst nightmare came true.
That
they missed their greatest opportunity, like Steve Young said, to win a Super Bowl under Kyle Shanahan.
Well, I think it's kind of obvious now, right, that last year.
Well, you're dealing with two hurt guys. Well, if you're telling me McCaffrey's going to come back and not skip a beat this year, then there's nothing to see here. But how would you bet on that right now?
What?
Even if he laced him up, McCaffrey, wouldn't we be every time he went to the ground tackle?
Well, I wouldn't.
Is he getting back up?
I wouldn't.
I mean, but that would be your reality. And would he be effective? Like, I'm talking, somebody check me today, 415.
See, I don't think people watch games
you're
like
talking
that.
About Greenlaw. If he comes back, he's going to pick up right where he
exactly.
left off. Now, that's real, but man, I'm trying to be proactive.
You're on one today.
Who?
You.
No.
No, you are.
No, Orlowski.
It's fine.
Think
it's
highly, more highly of yourself, man.
Couple things for you, Goo.
Yeah.
From the Comcast Business text line. I cannot believe I'm doing this, but I have to agree with Guru. Yeah, I did too.
They didn't write that. You put that on there.
I cannot believe I'm doing this, but I have to agree with Guru. 90% of the time I don't agree with him, but he's right on this
now,
one.
Boy,
Guru, what about this? Guru, that would be like you criticizing Gary Radnich and telling him he's not good at radio if Radnich were still on. Would you do that?
Now, what if
I can't criticize Gary Radnich
I owe a lot to.
Because he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, but hold on. What if Gary Radnich went on a podcast and said something about people from Union City and it was something like just awful? I would come in here and say, you can't do that. That wasn't cool.
No,
now,
but if,
that's if what
you
I
thought
mean.
Radnich had lost a step, Would you say it? Because I do think, like...
Do you lose a step in radio?
Do announcers lose a step?
No, yes.
Did John Sterling lose a step?
Well, he's wonderful. Hey, but I think that's a bit different.
I think it's kind of the same. I mean, okay, how about this? I would feel...
Because both of us can't be on the mic at the same time. Dan Orlowski's retired.
What about this? I would feel like I would never criticize, I don't think, like Kruk and Kipe. How can you? Like, who would it be? Like,
I don't want to do this, but what if something happened to... I got to be careful here.
Like,
if there was a slip-up, like there was in Oakland in the broadcast with the other Kiper, that then...
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers not playing right. So, it would be like me saying...
I don't think you would be being true to the profession then.
Well, I just wouldn't talk about it.
Then that's not being true.
But we're not talking about it. We don't... No, you're right.
But if something happened, I said, hey, Steiny, what's your... And you're like, you know, good, just smiling because you got a relationship with that. I don't know,
It's interesting, but let's say they made a mistake and got fired. Well, yes, we would talk about that.
All right, that's different.
But if announcers are, let's say, losing their fastball and, if Vin Scully... The last 5 years wasn't living up to his Hall of Fame pedigree.
And there was some slowdown, and he's the greatest.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't.
Wow.
I just want
to say that's different.
Yeah, maybe it is. It might be. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you because there's...
And again, I'm disappointed in Dan because I like Dan's work. And you're right. At the end of the day, is Dan being a jerk? No. Some could say, Steiny, he's being a great guy, but I just felt like he let me down. And I can get a life, but he let me down because I never once thought that you would criticize others. Dak, you put your name on it. Deshaun Watson, all the other quarterbacks. But Aaron Rodgers is so high on a level in your mind that he's off limits. And that's kind of what was disappointing to me.
This from the 408. Steiny, you're being hypocritical. You grilled Jeff Garcia for the Mina Kimes take. I don't follow, but I'm happy to.
Well, remember, we came down this road and the interview went left. We since made up.
Right.
Yeah.
She said she's never played quarterback. Right. And she...
So she's not entitled to an opinion?
Well, of course, yes, she's entitled to an opinion because she talks to football people all the time. And I think it was about Garoppolo and about how Garoppolo's terrible in the pocket or just not, whatever. But I'm sure she's talking to coaches and players and asking them about Garoppolo.
But you could apply that to Tony Kornheiser. You could apply that to Bob Costas. Everybody that hasn't played the game.
I know.
They'd give their opinion, that's all. And that's why what Evan said this morning, I know he's busy, but I was like, damn, maybe it's incredible what we hear and how we process it. He heard it a different way, and I swear to you, Steiny, I said to him, like, damn, that's valid. Yeah, I know we're up against it, but yeah.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll meet you more than halfway on this one. I think it's also Orlowski. I also think Orlovsky's the kind of guy who doesn't like that kind of tone. He stinks, or this guy's done, or
well,
he's
washed. Does a lot of it, like does when he? It's to Dak or the other right. recorded Kirk Cousins. You know, he'll come for you.
All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Feel free to jump into this conversation. If you want, what's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.